the TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. It is 4 minutes past the hour of 9 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States on Tuesday, but not just any Tuesday, Super Tuesday. That's right. That would make me right now Superman, I would assume. Actually, the real Superman tonight is Donald Trump. Super Tuesday, we have 854 delegates on the ballot for the Republicans. I'm not even going Democrats. Biden's running in these states, but he's running either unopposed or it's a joke, whoever's running against him. So what, we don't even have to report on that. He's going to win all those states ridiculously easy because there's no one running against him. But same for Trump, really, when you stop to look at it. More than a third of all the delegates are available tonight. You need 1,215 to win the nomination. 854 are on the ballot tonight. And Trump already came in with 273, Haley with 43. Let me just give you some idea of how it's going, okay? And the states where the polls have closed, been closed for an hour, maybe two in some instances. You want results? I'll give you results. You have winning. Trump wins Virginia by an estimated 29 points. North Carolina by 51 points. Oklahoma by 65 points. Texas by 53 points. Tennessee by 55 points. Maine by 48 points. Arkansas by 54 points. Massachusetts by 26 points. Alabama by 66 points. The one state, they have not called Colorado, although Trump is up by 32%. I'm sorry, 32% of the vote is in. He's up by 20%. So that appears to be a fait accompli. Vermont. Vermont, 44% of the vote in, and Trump is up by 1.8%, according to the New York Times, right now. And they project Haley to win by 2.3%. There are 17 delegates up for grabs in Vermont. But every other state, the lowest projected victory total is Colorado with 28. And you have several states that have yet to close. Minnesota's closing right now. Alaska has caucuses that close at midnight Eastern time. Utah closes in an hour. California with 169 delegates closes in 2 hours. So it's all Donald Trump all the time. And if you're Nikki Haley, again, we asked this to Noah Rothman last night. We've speculated on this from the time she got walloped in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina. How do you stay in the race? What are you going to say? Yeah, Trump got 66%, but I got the rest. Woohoo! That ain't nothing. I mean, are you crazy? And what is she in for? Since she just announced the other day, I'm not going to be a third party candidate. So what is she in for? Is she working for Biden? Are Democrats paying her? I mean, not illegally, but I mean, did they promise her something? Just keep trashing Trump? What is her purpose? I don't know. I have no idea, but that's the latest. Got it all scribbled down right here, but I figured I'd read it off the Times website. It's a lot easier. But we'll keep you up to date if anything else changes. We'll go over it before the end of the show. But there's not a lot to tell. Just keep an eye on Vermont and see if Trump can make it a clean sweep. California will be interesting as well, although I don't know what's going to happen. Okay, so let's move on, shall we? This myth, this lie, this vicious lie that is perpetuated every time it's told, and it's told over and over and over again, has been for years, decades, by the left, that Republicans are making it harder to vote. Meanwhile, we've seen mail-in balloting. We've seen you could start voting a month before the election. We've seen you could vote till after the polls close. We've seen all kind, you know, all kinds of accommodations. But all Republicans are making it harder to vote, especially for Black people. And what do they give as an example for that? Well, voter ID. Everybody knows Blacks can't get ID. It's harder for Blacks to get the proper ID. Do you know how demeaning and sick and racist that is and how untrue it is? Let me get this straight. Black people can't get whatever ID they need. If a driver's license, a non-driver's license ID, whatever they need to function on a daily basis and go about their lives day by day. For a bank, for anything, to pick up tickets, to whatever you need an ID for, to go to a doctor's office. They don't have ID because they're Black? What the hell does that even mean? It means nothing. It sounds to them good, so they keep repeating it. And it makes the Republicans the boogeyman because they want voter ID, which Blacks can't get because they don't want Blacks to vote. I mean, it's just, you talk about total fiction, total fabrication. And poll after poll, when they do poll this issue, Black people say, we should have voter ID. Just like when the Washington Redskins, Native Americans, year after year after year said, I'm not offended by the name Redskins. It's the white liberals who were. But Native Americans, overwhelmingly, Washington Post was the last poll that did it before they changed their name, overwhelmingly said, I like the name. I don't care about the name. Oh, we got to change it. It's racist. Says who? The white guilty liberals? But they're not even white guilty liberals in the case of the voter ID fraud. They're conniving, scheming, racist liars is what they are. And that describes the Democrat Party in a nutshell and the left in a nutshell. So let me play you the latest addition to this nonsense, this crap. This is the Attorney General of the United States the other day. Was he in Selma, Alabama? Kamala was? I don't know. But he was talking to a Black audience, from what I understand. And here he is, cut 37.
The right to vote is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. That is why we are working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of Black voters and other voters of color.
Imagine putting restrictions on mail-in voting, making it tougher to cheat. Someone gets a ballot in the mail. How do you know who's filling it out? How do you know? Answer, you don't. In my state, I walk into a vote, my polling place. I say who I am. How do you know who I am? Answer, you don't. And that's what they want. That's exactly what the left wants. This is the Attorney General of the United States, with all that's going on in this country, talking about this fiction, this lunacy. And including in that lunacy, voter ID laws. How dare you make Americans identify themselves when they go to take part in our most precious of rights and institutions, the right to vote? How dare you have to prove that you are who you say you are? That's racist. Folks, again, can't make it up. It's who they are. And the media goes along with it. So people are educated that must be racist, must be hard for Blacks to get voter ID. Those damn Republicans, they never did like Blacks. Of course, it was the Democratic Party that voted in less percentage for the Civil Rights Act. The Republican Party voted in greater percentage of existing members at the time for the Civil Rights Act. But that, you know, let's not muddy the waters with the truth. So anyway, so that's the pathetic, disgusting Attorney General of the United States. Ugh, he's just one of them. Just one of them. What can I say? Now, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's throw the ball down the court, if you will. And you'll see why I'm saying throw the ball down the court. Oh, not yet. We're not throwing the ball down the court yet. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, yeah, let's throw the ball down the court. We're going to do 51 if I don't, not throwing you a curve, which would be baseball. I'll let you set it up. 51. So there's a show on CNN called King Charles. Gayle King from CBS, Oprah's buddy, and King Charles. I mean, and Charles Barkley. So King Charles. Get it? Okay. It's a hard show to watch. There's nothing to it. They clash sometimes, but there's no substance to it. And he's not the most intelligent person in the world. And listen to what he said. Once again, the left threatening violence, promising violence, in this case, against black conservatives. And she gave him an out, as you'll see, and he didn't take it. He stuck to his guns. Is he going to be fired? Is he going to be suspended? Is he going to be fined? Is the attorney general going to launch an investigation? No. Is the media going to report on it en masse? No. Because he's a black man, he's on the left, and he could say whatever the hell he wants. He could threaten violence, like Cory Booker, sitting U.S. Senator from New Jersey, when Trump was president, went on late night and said, my testosterone makes me want to punch Trump in the face, or punch Trump. Really? No repercussions. No repercussions. Chuck Schumer? You won't know what hit you, Gorsuch. You won't know what hit you, Kavanaugh. Again, they're not elected, so what could hit them? Something bad, like physically. And the list goes on and on. And Biden wanting to take Trump out behind the school gym and beat the hell out of him. Violence, violent talk. Does it matter? When they do it, it never happens. But it's the right that's a threat to this country. It's the right. That Alec Baldwin, way back when there was the impeachment of Bill Clinton, he said, let's all go to Washington. He was on a late night show. He was on Conan O'Brien, his late night show on CBS, I think. Let's all of us together, go to Washington and stone Henry Hyde to death and kill his wife and his children. That's what Alec Baldwin said. Pretty sure it was Alec Baldwin, now that I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what he said. I'll play it tomorrow for you all. All of us together go to Washington and stone Henry Hyde was overseeing the impeachment. Stone Henry Hyde to death, kill his wife, kill their wives and their children. In other words, the Republicans. How did it affect his career? Huh? How penalized was he? The double standard in this country is awful. So let me get to King Charles, and here is cut 51.
The mugshot, we've all seen the mugshot. And you know who embraced it more than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible. You see black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts.
When you heard that, what did you think? Big sigh.
I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugshot, I'm gonna punch him in the face.
Charles.
Gail.
You really can't say that because A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely. I'm gonna just tell you something.
And then you will be arrested for assault. And then what?
I'm gonna bail myself out and go celebrate.
Don't encourage him.
Si se puede. Si se puede. So there he is. If he sees a black Trump supporter, he's going to punch him. and he'll celebrate. He didn't say, of course, I'm only kidding. I mean, not in that bite. Not, you know, she gave him a chance to. What could you say? Oh, by the way, I looked it up because I didn't need a lawsuit from Alec Baldwin. And I'm thinking to myself, if we were in other countries, we would all right now, all of us together would go down to Washington and we would stone Henry Hyde to death. We would stone him to death. Then they're applauding, and he says, wait, shut up to the audience. No, shut up. I'm not finished. We would stone Henry Hyde to death, and we would go to their homes, and we'd kill their wives and their children. We'd kill their families. What is happening in this country? What is happening? That's a good question. So the left, celebrities, politicians, former basketball players, sitting senators, vice presidents, presidential candidates, Congress people, Maxine Waters said, get them in shopping malls, get in their faces about Trump's cabinet. Don't let them have any peace. Get in their faces in restaurants and shopping malls and gas stations. But none of this matters. None of this matters because we all know that the threat of violence is from the right. The danger in this country is from the right. Call them what you want. Rural whites, white Christian nationals, whatever, MAGA people, whatever. It's all the people on the right. These people who are threatening and perpetuating and putting violent ideas in people's minds and in some places encouraging it. Not a peep came out of their mouths. You're imagining it all. Okay, sick stuff. Okay, so now that we did 51 out of turn, we'll go back to 54 in a second. So here we are. This is John Kirby, the national security spokesperson. He's on CNN. I'm sorry, he's on Fox. And recently, as you'll hear in a second, it turns out that Joe Biden did not meet with the head of Border Patrol. Not the one who was there when Biden got there and the one who replaced him. They were on 60 Minutes this past Sunday and said, I never met with Joe Biden in 3 years. I never met him. Not once. How is that possible? Well, it's not just me asking the question. Martha McCallum on Fox puts the question to John Kirby, and Kirby, he's pathetic. I mean, what's he going to say? He tried to do the best he could, but it's pathetic. Here's cut 54.
According to his former Border Patrol chief, who spoke out on 60 Minutes, Raul Ortiz, he never spoke with the president. The entire time he was the border chief overseeing 21,000 agents, or the vice president, given the fact that this is the number one issue for voters in every primary state we've covered so far, John, how is that possible?
Well, you saw the president down at Brownsville last week, Martha. It's the second visit down to the border. He obviously has a close relationship with Secretary Mayorkas and and everybody at DHS. He had a chance to meet directly with border agents down there in Brownsville. This is an issue he knows is important to the American people. It's important to him.
Not only Raul Ortiz, the former chief of the Border Patrol, but the current chief of the Border Patrol, Chief Owens, who you pointed out he did meet with in Brownsville. But from what we can find out, they had never spoken before that. How is that possible?
Well, the president's engaged with the DHS. He's engaged with leadership there.
But
he's
why not the Border Patrol?
I love the first answer he gave. How could he not have met for 3 years with a Border Patrol chief who's in charge of 21,000 Border Patrol agents when we have this huge problem that tops the list of Americans' concerns in 3 years?
Well, Martha, you saw he went down to the border last week.
Oh, last week. What, did he get out of bed finally? So she says, how could this be? And here is cut number, don't tell me, 55.
He's engaged with the Border Patrol, Martha. He was just down there at Brownsville meeting and talking to those folks directly and hearing from them.
But he never met
about
the
situation on the ground.
Or current chief. The current chief you just met has been president for 3 years, just met him the other day.
He again, is engaged with everybody at DHS, including the Border Patrol, down there at Brownsville, talking to him on the ground, hearing from them directly about what their concerns are.
Okay, but just to confirm that record, you're telling you they never met before Thursday, correct?
I don't have the president's daily calendar with me in terms of like who he's met specifically with, but the idea that he's somehow disengaged from the Border Patrol just flies in the face of the facts.
Yes, the idea that he is disengaged from the Border Patrol simply because in 3.5 years until 2 days ago, he had never met with the head of Border Patrol, never talked to him, never called him, never spoke to him. That doesn't mean he's disengaged. Hell, he went down there this weekend or this week, and he talked to one of the guys there. You know, how more engaged could somebody be? Have you ever seen a more engaged man in your life than behind closed doors, how engaged Joe Biden is? I've seen him behind closed doors. He's engaged, Martha. Folks, could you have made up a worse answer? 3 years he hasn't talked to him. What, he was down there this week? I mean, you got to be kidding. But that's what they get away with. This is insanity. Insanity. Now, Bill Hemmer on Fox. This is Outnumbered, the show Outnumbered, where you have all these beautiful women. I think 2-4 beautiful women, maybe 4 or 5 beautiful women, and one guy sitting in the middle there, and he's outnumbered, as they call it. And it was Bill Hemmer today of Fox, and they're talking about the networks who pull out of Trump speeches, don't cover Trump speeches, and how outrageous it is. And good for Bill Hemmer for speaking up. Here is cut number 50.
I just have one more thing here is that, you know, during our primary coverage tonight, if Joe Biden, as president of the United States, decided he wanted to come out and take a speech, we would take his speech. We would have listened to what he has to say. But on primary night after primary night, our competition sometimes refuses to take the winner. Mm. South Carolina was a big deal. It was a big vote. It told us a lot about where the Republican Party is going in this candidacy. One of our competitors took 4 minutes, another took 10. That's what you're going to do. Take news out of your name.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because we should all be listening to these ideas and thoughts. And if Biden came out, we would take him and be fair to his message.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
We just
absolutely. Sometimes we have to put words on the screen because helicopters are too loud for him or he's having a moment.
We'll see what happens
today. But we want to cover it. It's news.
Yep. And they don't have fact checkers coming on immediately after either, as the networks won't have after Thursday's State of the Union. By the way, Thursday's State of the Union starts exactly when we get on the air. So we'll talk about it at length on Friday. Nonetheless, I also want to remind you folks, if I might, that starting on Monday, Eastern time, okay, usually the show is 9 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, but it's going to switch to 10 p.m. Eastern time starting on Monday because we turn the clocks ahead here in the United States, and that's why, okay? So half my year is basically 9 o'clock as it is now, Eastern time, Monday through Friday. The other half is 10 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. So that's what we're going to switch to on Monday. So write it down, jot it down, don't get confused, and make sure you don't miss an episode or anything else. I got one more before we go to break here, and then we'll welcome in our guest. This is insane. This is insane. I want you to look at this report on ABC Good Morning America about how the Biden campaign is talking about something they've named shrinkflation, which is basically you're paying for orange juice. You think you're getting a half gallon. You used to get a half gallon. Now you're getting 50 something ounces. Same price, higher price, but the content is less. Oreo cookies, they claim. They did a study and they claim the Oreo cookies are getting smaller. Lots of things I noticed that you buy are smaller. And the packages, if you look, are less in weight. So they're calling it shrinkflation. And this gives Biden a chance to change the narrative from inflation, which is destroying American families, to the evil companies, which, you know, it's not good what they're doing, but that's not what's bankrupting people. Okay, so none of, but they're using a PBS, a public broadcasting service icon, public broadcasting, which I pay for. And if you're an American, you pay for it too. They're using the Cookie Monster from Sesame Street in the effort to tear apart, promote and tear apart shrinkflation. So here's ABC's take on it. Watch his number 56.
Now to the economy and the outcry over shrinkflation, with one Sesame Street character speaking out against high grocery prices. Trevor Ault is here with the details. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Michael. Yeah, we're hearing from one of the great economic minds of our time, the Cookie Monster, who is venting about paying more for less. And actually, now some politicians are weighing in, too. We know the cookies are shrinking. Is it corporate greed or is it bad policy?
This morning, the Cookie Monster has had enough.
Chocolate chip cookie important to me, too.
His beef with shrinkflation is getting attention on Capitol Hill after he posted, quote, "Me hate shrinkflation. Me cookies are getting smaller." Senator Sherrod Brown responded, "Me too, Cookie Monster. People in my state of Ohio are fed up. They should get all the cookie they pay for."
There you go. How is that happening? How is that character created with my money going to promote Joe Biden's campaign, basically? That's a question many people are asking, and I wouldn't hold my breath. Could you imagine asking Corinne Jean-Pierre, the self-proclaimed historic figure, first black lesbian White House spokesperson, ask her about that? And she would say, oh, you know, the Hyde, or whatever the heck it is. I can't get involved in anything involving the campaign. You'll have to talk to the campaign about that. So there, I just saved you the trouble of waiting for her to answer it. By the way, Trump wins Minnesota. So Trump has won Virginia, Colorado, Oklahoma, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Arkansas, Maine, Alabama, Massachusetts, Minnesota. The only states he hasn't won is where the polls haven't closed yet. Alaska, California, Utah, and in Vermont, he is up 1.2% with slightly over 50% of the vote in. The New York Times still projects Nikki Haley to win by 2%. We'll see how that finishes out. Don't go away. When we come back, Mike McCormick joins us once again. The latest on Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, his brother, and you name it. When we return, Steve Malzberg right here on TNT.
TNT's Pervoy Morich.
Trans women's milk as good as breast milk, says NHS Trust yesterday. Drug-induced chest feeding liquid comparable to that from mothers when it comes to baby nourishment, claims hospital. And NHS Trust has said that breast milk produced by men is as good for babies as that produced by mother who has given birth. I wonder if I should experiment with that the next time I have a kid. I have nothing. I don't know what else to say. I mean, we're just observing the insanity of clown world. Yeah.
Pervoy Morich on today's News Talk TNT.
Our beautiful world is changing, withering, dying. By the hands of those who don't value nature, even though we all depend on it for life itself. But there is hope. Together with caring friends, the Nature Conservancy can restore our lands, heal our waters, and save our wildlife with big solutions only nature can provide. But every day we lose more of the places we love, and we urgently need to save endangered lands, waters, and wild species. The actions we take today will determine the tomorrow we leave to our children and grandchildren. The water they drink, the air they breathe, the beauty they experience. To learn more about how you can help protect and conserve our beautiful world, visit nature.org today.
Our next steps to space.
This time we go back to the moon to learn to live, to work, to invent, to create.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And you could bet when we get to the moon, TNT will be on the moon. That's right. You could just flip on and get us right up there on the moon. Anyway, welcome back, Steve Malzberg. We welcome in once again to the show. I'm very happy to say Mike McCormick, he, of course, was the former Obama stenographer, author of the new book, The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. You could also check out his Substack, Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be back with you.
And the book is doing well.
Book is doing great. Yeah, we're crawling right up the rankings.
Yeah, I'm very, very pleased, very happy for you. Okay, and it's I'm very happy for the people reading it, because it's good for the country to know the truth. So let me ask you this: you have said that Barack Obama needs to be called to testify before Congress in this whole Biden family investigation, which is really what it's a Joe Biden investigation, but it involves the family, obviously. And you also bring up the name Victoria Nuland. So explain to the people who she is, why she's relevant, and how it fits in with Obama.
Well, she's in the news right now. She just resigned. She was the Assistant Secretary of State. She had her hand in a lot of pots dating back to the Clinton years, mostly in Eastern Europe, Russia. But she was very pivotal in the Ukraine, you know, when Vladimir Putin talked to Tucker Carlson about it, he called it a soft coup. You know, the U.S. side saw it as kind of a protest that took hold, and grassroots protest that toppled a corrupt government. So pick your side. But she was in on it. And so was Obama, and so was Biden. And so, you know, the question is, why is she leaving now? And the reason she's leaving now is it looks like Joe Biden's going to make a deal with Putin. He's going to betray Ukraine, probably with a peace deal that gives Russia most of the energy reserves that are there in Crimea and the Donetsk region, Eastern Ukraine, probably just in time for him to make big whoopee about it during the Democratic convention. So she's out, and, you know, she was connected to Obama, and she was connected to Kerry, and she was connected to Joe Biden and the very corrupt U.S. embassy in Ukraine, which was all part of this Burisma kickback scheme that Joe Biden profited from.
It is amazing. It just doesn't end, you know, Mike. I mean, it just doesn't end. And you are such a fountain of knowledge and information to that end. So let's talk about last week. I think it was last week. There's so much happening. One thing blends into the next. Hunter Biden did testify behind closed doors, and he's going to allegedly testify out in public before the Congress eventually. So you've read the transcript. The transcripts have been out there. I'm familiar with some of it, not as much as you. So what, I mean, he talked about his drug use a lot. He talked about being high. He kind of used it as an excuse for various things in place of some answers that you would have hoped he would have given. What did you get from the transcripts that you saw of that behind closed doors testimony before Congress from Hunter Biden?
Well, you know, they warned him at the outset, if you tell a lie in here, you can face prison time. It's illegal to lie to us, even if, you know, in this proceeding, or just not tell the whole truth if you withhold some of the truth. Well, that's basically all he did, was lie and withhold the truth. So, you know, we'll get to the bottom of that. His point at the top in his introduction was that you don't have evidence my father was involved. This is a big witch hunt against my father, and you're using my addiction problems, my family problems to gin up all these charges that have no base. They're baseless. I know differently. I was there with Joe Biden in Ukraine. I've written a book about it. I've put it in my Substack. It's all through the laptop, what Hunter Biden did. And he did it with Joe Biden. And what was interesting in the transcript was he nailed down a few points that had been sort of fudgy, hard to nail down. So he admitted under oath that it was Alexander Kwasniewski, the former president of Poland, who recruited him onto the board. He said a whole different story about that in 2019 when he gave an interview to the New Yorker magazine. So this is a whole different story than what he had then. he pinned a lot of the financial dealings on his partner, Devin Archer. And Devin Archer had previously testified. They went over Devin Archer's testimony and found all the places that Hunter could hide behind in his testimony. And that's what he did. But, you know, the points that I make in my book, and I'm an eyewitness to what Joe Biden did. Joe Biden committed a crime. He was the mastermind of the Burisma kickback scheme. So when Hunter Biden says, I didn't do business with my dad, well, his dad did business with him. And that's not what that's the whole truth. His dad did business with him. He set it up and he told Hunter what to do. And that's what Hunter did. So that's where I saw it.
And didn't his testimony contradict some others' testimony? For instance, Joe's brother, James Biden, compared to the testimony of Hunter Biden, there were inconsistencies. Tony Bobulinski and other ex-Biden family associates, there were inconsistencies with their testimony as well. For instance, James Biden's testimony conflicts with Biden and Bobulinski's, according to a House committee aide who was there. Both Hunter Biden and Tony Bobulinski testify that Joe Biden met with Tony Bobulinski, Hunter Biden, and James Biden at a hotel in California. The aide added, James Biden said this never happened. So talk about James Biden, the brother, and how could you have such, couldn't they get their story straight? I mean, how could you have such conflicting testimony and Joe Biden, James Biden being the one, the outlier, who's telling the truth?
Yeah, Jimmy Biden. Jimmy Biden was, you know, Hunter calls him the fixer. That's what he called him in his book that he wrote. So, they're not smart. These people aren't smart. They had Joe Biden out there as this sort of source of income, doing his graft on the side of his Senate duties and responsibilities. And they profited off that for decades. So, you know, they got sloppy. Hunter got sloppy with drugs and left a laptop that he should have picked up. And it turned into the property of the laptop shop owner. And, well, that guy put it, you know, went to the FBI and got the word out on it. So that's sloppy Hunter. And Jim was even sloppier than Hunter in the laptop. I mean, the emails that he puts, these guys were like, they were almost like the low level thugs that you see. It was almost like the Three Stooges tried crime. I mean, it really is awful the way they interact with each other. And, you know, Devin Archer is a guy who's going to prison for a year. He was the smart one. And they're basically hiding behind him. And that's not a great place to hide. He's got a lot of problems, too. Some of these other witnesses have come forward. There's a guy named Galanis, who was involved with Hunter and Devin Archer in this Indian tribe fraud they committed against the Sioux Indian tribe, the Oglala Sioux Indian tribe. They defrauded them out of like a bond scheme. So that guy's in jail. Devin Archer's going to jail for that. Galanis says Hunter was involved in it. Archer says he wasn't. You know, my friends at Marco Polo U.S., Marco Polo, the nonprofit, the anti-corruption nonprofit, that gave me the laptop. This book back here they put out. They know they had voluminous records of how Hunter was involved in that that crime, and they were convicted of it. There were convictions over it. So, you know, Biden's are trying to skate away from being in jail trouble. And it's not going well. Tony Bobulinski was not treated well by Hunter Biden in his interview. He had really nasty things to say about him. He's a liar, right? And all this stuff. So, you know, he's just trying to throw shade on the people that are telling the truth. I didn't get interviewed by them. I hope to be interviewed by the Oversight Committee someday.
Any update, Mike? Any contact with them whatsoever?
No contact out of them. I keep pushing on them. I've sent my book into the U.S. Attorney Leo Wise, who works for David Weiss. He's got his grand jury working out there in California. No update on them from them.
Wow.
So
that is really
get to tell my story someday.
really, really sad. I want you to hear, before I let you go, this morning on Fox and Friends, Donald Trump was on, and he was talking about Biden and, you know, who's running Biden. This is something I've speculated on from day one, even before he was sworn in, that it was going to be Barack Obama. So here he's, I guess they asked him about Israel. I think Brian Kilmeade asks if he's on board with what Israel's doing. And then it's not a long cut. And then he at the end, he makes a very interesting comment I'd like for you to weigh in on it. Here is cut number 52.
Are you on board with the way the IDF is taking the fight to in Gaza?
You've got to finish the problem. You had a horrible invasion. It took place. It would have never happened if I was president, by the way. As you know, Iran was broke, Brian. They were broke. They had no money for Hamas, for Hezbollah. They were broke. This would have never happened. And for another reason, they wouldn't have done it to me. I guarantee you that. They did this because they have no respect for Biden. And frankly, they got soft. And what happened here is incredible. That should never have happened. Likewise, Russia would never have attacked Ukraine. Never. You know it. Everybody knows it. And that wouldn't have happened. This is all on Biden.
Do you think the president's in the process of abandoning Israel?
I do believe that, but I don't think he knows where he is, frankly. I think you could ask him a question right now, ask him the same question. I don't think he knows what to say about many subjects, actually. So, it's really the people that surround him. It's the fascists and the communists that surround him. They're making the calls. They're calling the shots. He's not calling the shots.
Now the fascists and the communists that he's alluding to, presumably, are in the administration, and also presumably many of them worked in the Obama administration.
Yeah, they're those longtime advisors. Tony Blinken, a guy named Ted Kaufman, Ron Klain. There's two brothers, the Donilon brothers, Mike and Tom Donilon. Tom Donilon was the national security advisor for Biden. Obama for a couple of years. He was the guy that opened up the China deals for Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. He was the entree. So he was an old friend of theirs. So these are the people that have been around him, and they basically pushed Joe Biden up into kind of the heart, did the heart of Obama's agenda. That, you know, Joe got his hands on everything, and he got his hands on everything because these advisors, and they stuck with him through the Trump years and pushed him back into the White House in 2020 as basically a zombie character out of the basement. They know his weaknesses and they know his strengths. And one of his strengths is he has an enormous voluminous knowledge of all the choke points in the U.S. government. So if there's a vote or something somewhere, or if there's a county or something somewhere, then he knows who the choke points are in that county and how to access them for his needs. And that's where he got in 2020. That's where he got in 2019, pushed his way in after a pretty weak showing in the early stages of that primary year. And then came out with this, you know, strange campaign that was run under the umbrella of the COVID shutdown.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, that's who was behind him. And they set a lot of stuff up beneath the surface.
I tell you, Mike, it gets scarier and scarier. And, you know, we haven't even talked about the gaffes. They're not gaffes. The other day, he said twice in two sentences that you're talking about aid to Gaza. He said, he said aid to Ukraine twice.
Yeah, right.
So he said, you know, Ukraine instead of Gaza. I mean, it's just crazy that this man is president of the United States and running again.
All right. And he used to do that a lot as a vice president. I mean, I was a stenographer. I heard that all the time. And he never got called out on it because the press gave him a pass.
You know, of course.
And he was the gaffe guy, and he just made a big joke out of it. It's not funny. And now we see what really happens, you know, when you put somebody like that in the center seat.
Well, of course, when he was running in 2020, the media never brought up that he was forced out of the race in 88 for lying about everything and plagiarizing other politicians' speeches and statements and plagiarizing in law school. And the media reported it all. I've played the bites of him lying and of the media reports, and he had to drop out. I mean, but that you would think that was newsworthy in 2020, but of course not a peep. Let me ask you, he's got a plate in his head, right? I mean, I'm not crazy. There was a point where he had some kind of bleeding or something or whatever, a stroke-like thing or something, and doesn't he have a plate in his head?
Two cranial aneurysms. He's had two.
See, I knew it. I knew it. Yeah.
He spent a lot of time in Walter Reed. Actually, it happened right after he dropped out of the race in 1988. And yeah, I don't know if he has a plate in his head, but yeah, he came very close to death. I mean, like he tells people, he's a big consumer of healthcare, right? He's been in the hospital a lot. Yeah. So yeah, he's had that, and he wasn't a non-sharp guy as vice president. He was talked a lot. He moved around. He was pretty fit. He's half the man he used to be over just 8 years ago.
Well, and that's age. You know what? God willing, I'm around at his age, and you're around at his age. And you can't blame him for that. I blame the people around him. I blame the media. I blame the Democrats. Right. I blame Jill first and foremost. But, you can't blame him for that. And it really is a shame. But, you know, I don't know how anybody could vote for this guy. I don't know how he could be the leader of this country or make-believe leader, whatever. And boy, you talk about presenting weakness to our enemies and to the world. It just is not good. Mike, I thank you as always. And again, the book, which everybody keep buying, is The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. And check out on Substack, Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil, Mike McCormick. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Steve.
Take care. All right, folks. Great, great, great information from Mike. Okay, when we come back, we have some more sound for you, which I think you're going to find to be pretty. Joy Reid, just when you thought you couldn't top what you heard her say that we played the other day, questioning why the Republican senator from Alabama would want American families in Alabama, to have more babies. Since he doesn't want illegal aliens coming into the country, why would you want more babies if you don't, American babies, if you don't want more illegal aliens? And then suggested he wants to use them eventually for slave labor. Just when you thought you heard it all from her, ooh, it gets better. And we got it. Steve Malzberg right here on TNT.
I'm Sandra, this is Jorge, and we were adopted in 2019. I remember when they first came to us, Michael was already a teenager. The whole cliche of they're so lucky to have you guys, and it's the other way around. They have changed our family for the better. They chose to love us. They didn't have to. They chose us. Family.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org.
From weather and traffic reports
to news of political developments,
we turn to journalists for the information we need to live our daily lives.
Journalists around the world provide the news that is essential for democracy,
for personal freedom, and for safety and stability.
Yet their ability to report freely and safely is under attack like never before.
Too many journalists are paying with their lives.
We face exponential risks, and they've already paid a heavy toll.
Death threats, online harassment, and physical attacks
are becoming a daily experience of journalists in all countries.
We just want people to be safe, to be able to get our readers the information that they need to make informed decisions.
They checked my phone and realized that it was Pegasus. I feel myself like I'm naked at the street.
These charges were politicized from the start.
Facts win. Truth wins. Justice wins.
C'est énorme pour moi d'être là, d'être libre, surtout que je ne m'y attendais pas du tout.
Stand with a free press.
Stand with journalists whose reporting won't be silenced.
press freedom is your freedom.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember I told you before that if we land on the moon, TNT will be on the moon? I wouldn't put it past us, because in 2.5 years, look at all that TNT radio is doing. We're audio, we're video, we're 24/7, we're all over the world, hosts from all over the world, every day, every single day, all night. And nobody else does anything like that. They may say they do it. They may think they do it if they're deluded, but they don't do it. Now, these media platforms, lots of them, I talk about them every day. I give examples of how biased and inaccurate and what liars they are. And they all have sponsors, lots of sponsors, some of whom, I guess, go along with it. Maybe the others more than go along with it. They actually enjoy it. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. We're very picky about who we select and take money from and all that kind of stuff. So what I'm going to ask you to do while we're in the process of evaluating and getting the right sponsorship to continue everything that we do for you and for us, I would like you to go to tntradio.live. tntradio.live. You must know it and love it. Everything is there. Make a contribution. Whatever you could give will be helpful. It'll keep us going. It'll bridge the gap while we find the right sponsorship to continue to do what we're doing. Okay? So tntradio.live. All right. I want you to hear this because this is, and I hope we have time to get them both in. Let's go to Joy Reid right here, talking about the courts, the Supreme Court's decision that a state has no right to kick a federal candidate off the ballot. It could only be an act of Congress or some other authority. Here's 46.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, but the three dissenters, my three amigas, as I'm calling them, they give me life. I'm sorry. They give me life everlasting. Every time they write something, it's like boom shakalak. I love it. This is another thing. Let me read. This is from the ruling. It says the case raises the question of whether the states, in addition to Congress, may also enforce Section 3. We conclude that states may disqualify persons holding or attempting to hold state office, but states have no power under the Constitution to enforce Section 3 with respect to federal offices, especially the presidency. Okay, so if that is the case, let me come to you, Kenji, first, Yoshino first. In Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution, now I'm playing play lawyer on TV, it says no person shall, except for a natural-born citizen or citizens of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution, shall be eligible to the office of president, nor shall any person be eligible who shall not have attained the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States. So if states can't enforce Section 3 of Article 14, can they enforce that? Couldn't a 12-year-old say, I'm running for president, or Arnold Schwarzenegger? Could a state knock them off the ballot? Because that's a federal office. They'd be running for president. If the states can't enforce it, can they enforce this?
So in other words, she's saying, and you know what? I'm going to probably have to do this tomorrow because I don't have time to give it justice. I want to get the response from the NYU law professor who's sitting there, but I don't have time. She's saying the Supreme Court says that Colorado State Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump violated this section of the Constitution by committing an insurrection or supporting an insurrection, yet they have no power to kick him off. Well, another portion of the Constitution says you have to be a certain age and you have to be born in the United States. So could a state kick that person off? There's no evidence that Donald Trump participated in insurrection. They're making that assumption. They're decreeing it. They're deciding it. He hasn't been charged with it. If a 12-year-old, as she used as an example, decided to run for president, you would see that he's a 12-year-old. There's no doubt or debate about it. If a foreigner decided to run for president, you'd see where he was born or she was born. There's no debate about it. The insurrection thing is made up out of fabrication. They said he was guilty of it, but he was never charged with it. It's completely different. But she's too dumb to understand that. Okay, see, aren't you glad that I didn't go to the NYU professor and I said it myself? But I'm going to readdress that tomorrow. You're going to hear that again and his answer, which is basically what I'm saying. I mean, anybody could see that. Insurrection. Well, insurrection, really? You're saying he's guilty of an insurrection based on what? What? You can't just gratuitously say that. But The kid is 12 years old. It says it right here. He's officially 12 years old against the rules. This is a foreigner. Says it right here. Officially can't run against the rules. Completely different situation, as John Roberts pointed out in the decision. Okay, we'll get to it tomorrow, God willing. We'll get to everything. We'll give you all the results of Super Tuesday tomorrow. We'll talk more about it. Trump has already won 10 of 14 states. The polls haven't closed in 3 others. Vermont's up for grabs. See you tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on TNT.